Howdy neighbors, welcome to another Ag Perspectives podcast. We're pleased to have along with us today Mario Hurtado, who's Executive Vice President for Development for Clean Line Energy Partners. This is a company that would like to build a major transmission line from the Oklahoma Panhandle region eastward across Oklahoma into Arkansas, ending up around the Mississippi River, delivering enough electricity for a couple of million homes from wind energy from the high plains. Let's talk a little bit about, first of all, the Clean Line organization. For our listeners, kind of give us a little review of who you guys are and maybe how you got to this point as far as the organization is concerned.
Sure. So our organization is focused on one thing, which is how to be able to facilitate a lot more wind power being built in this country by finding a solution to one of the biggest problems that exists for wind power right now, which is having sufficient transmission, finding a way to get really the very best resources from where they're produced, which is typically in the Great Plains areas, to where there's really high demand, which is more populated areas that are either east or west of that.
I know that, you know, when we start thinking about the traditional transmission line or the network that is out crisscrossing the country, they all kind of originate at other more traditional sources of electricity, right?
Well, typically, the way our grid is built out is you'd have an electric utility serving, you know, a town or a city, and then it would grow out from there. And as population centers grew, those utilities grew, and some of them became kind of statewide, but really mostly focused on very local needs. And then all these utilities interconnected to help themselves with reliability. So if one of them was short power, then they could share and make sure that the lights all stayed on. But with a few exceptions, we typically in this country haven't thought about where is the very best resource and how do we produce it there and then take it to where it's needed. We have done it in cases like very large hydroelectric plants, typically, and some other cases. And so in some ways, that's a little bit of the model that we're following. We're using a technology called high voltage direct current, which has been around since Edison and Westinghouse kind of came up with the electric industry more than 100 years ago. But it's a technology which allows you to move a lot of power a very long distance very, very efficiently and using less space than you would over the traditional alternating current or AC network.
So as you take that particular approach of the direct current concept, that does allow you to do what you want to do without too much loss of generating. In other words, you don't lose, what, half of it or anything like that?
Well, right. Half is a lot more than is typical. But typically, you know, anytime you're moving electrons over wires, basically, and aluminum and steel, you have some losses. And so typically our AC network, the numbers that I often hear are, you know, losses are somewhere around 10 to 11%. With our line, we'll have losses of, we think, between about 5 to 6%. And so, and over a long distance, and since you have a pretty big scale, each line would transport about 3,500 megawatts. That's a lot of power that you don't lose. And so you can create, you know, you can deliver a product that's more economic and better priced.
Why this particular project? Now, what got your company interested in going, you know, out in that panhandle area of Oklahoma, southwestern Kansas, and grabbing power?
Well, that's a good question. So there are a couple things. One is that it's part of this really rich vein of wind that runs along the Great Plains north-south just east of the Rockies, which is really a tremendous resource that, you know, very few countries like the U.S. have such strong onshore wind. And so we're working on projects in a couple of other places as well. But in particular, this project, why the Panhandle? Because in the Panhandle, there's been a lot of interest for a while now in developing these resources. Some of them have already been developed, and a lot of the electric utilities that are already here have done things to strengthen the grid. And so there's projects that are being done that are going to help move new wind power from, like, the Panhandle or western Oklahoma to the load centers regionally, like Tulsa and Oklahoma City. The demand here is important. It's being satisfied. But the next step, which is coming up, is going to be how you can take even more power and export it. And that's what we're doing, how to connect this region to a whole other region. And Oklahoma understands energy very well. It's been part of the economy and part of the history here for a long time. And so it's a great place to do business. People understand infrastructure, and they understand how to utilize resources efficiently and create more wealth for them and the other people in the state that way.
One figure that I saw from a recent newsletter that you've got really, I think, is a fascinating number, and that's that 25% of the nation's electricity could be provided or could be actually coming from the state of Oklahoma potentially.
Well, that's to give you an idea of how big the resource is. It's really huge, and so you have so much wind power here. You know, you'll never utilize all of it within the state, and I would say you probably won't get to the point where 25% of the energy comes just from Oklahoma. There's a lot of good power, and we're a big country, but it does give you an idea that the issue isn't the resource and the size of the resource. The issue is how do you get that resource to a market efficiently and make it a bigger part of the pie. So today, wind power provides about 3% of the electric power in our country. It's an abundant resource. It's very clean. There's no emissions in terms of the air. And we don't use very much water when we produce it. So it makes a lot of sense to utilize more of it as part of the overall equation. It won't solve all of our problems, and it's not by itself going to kind of take us where we want to go, but it's part of it. So the future of electric generation in this country is really going to be, I think, mostly be about wind and natural gas. And so for Oklahoma, it's really interesting because Oklahoma has the two resources which really are going to lead the way in the growth of the electric power industry.
Now, in effect, your company is almost like a pipeline company. In other words, you're wanting to move this power from point A to point B. You're dealing, I know, with a couple of states right now as far as the regulatory side of things, Arkansas as well as Oklahoma.
That's right. The pipeline model, it in some ways it applies, in some ways it doesn't. The businesses are similar in the sense, and it applies in the sense that, you know, we're going a long way, and we are going to cross state boundaries, and we're trying to take a resource from one place and take it to another. But the electric industry is primarily regulated at state level, and so that's why, as you mentioned, we're working with state authorities here in Oklahoma, which is primarily the Oklahoma Corporation Commission, and in Arkansas, where it's called the Public Service Commission, and they're the ones that tend to regulate utility activities and the activities of the electric utilities that do transmission in their states. And so one of the early steps is to present ourselves to the commission and ask to be considered a public utility in each of those states, and we'll be doing that here. And then in our other projects, we have similar processes that we'll be doing in other states as well. So it's just one of the steps that we have to take to be able to put the project together. There's a lot of other steps, but one of the first things you have to do is make sure you have permission to do it, because these projects take a long time, and we'll be asking a lot of different people for input on how to put all of this together. And so we need to make sure that we're talking to the right people at the state level as well as the regional level, and that folks understand that we're accountable to those authorities on a state level.
And when we think about the idea of moving this wind power, this is something that is still not totally there. In other words, we've got quite a few projects out in that part of the world, but the capacity of your lines would beg, I would think, the issue of trying to get more capacity out there up and running, right?
Well, this is going to serve, if I think I understand your question, this is going to serve new wind power plants.
Right.
Typically, you don't build a wind power plant unless you know you have a buyer at the other end, and typically that involves some long-term commitments to buy that power. Think of it as a long-term, purchase contract for, just like you would for another commodity. And that gives you confidence as an investor for the generators that they're going to be able to get their investment back in some way over time. So, there's a lot of generation that's being developed. So that means that people are out there talking to landowners, optioning land for wind turbines, measuring the wind, making sure they understand it right, siting it, and also investing money and trying to figure out how they interconnect to the system. So when you go out to the panhandle and you pick a point in Texas County, you draw a circle around it for 120 miles, there's more than 10,000 megawatts that are in development right now that people have invested and landowners have signed up and are ready to build. There's not nearly that much transmission, and so we are going to provide the transmission capability for them to be able to build some of those projects, obviously not all of them. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Right. But so at this point,
how much, I guess you were mentioning earlier some numbers, but how big of a capacity are you anticipating for this initial line that you want to actually build?
So the line would accommodate approximately 3,500 megawatts, 3,500 megawatts of power. So that's enough to power at the receiving end about 2 million homes, equivalent of 2 million homes. So that another way to think about it is a very large power plant, existing power plant, would be like 1,000 megawatts, a large nuclear plant. So it would be equivalent to about three of those. They're big projects, and the reason they're big is because economies of scale matter a lot in the utility industry. You know, if you build things at the right size, they're much more economical on a per unit basis. Just like, you know, if you have a larger piece of land and you can harvest it more efficiently, then you know you're going to have a lower per unit cost. So it works the same way.
What's really the potential that you all foresee for these areas where you're going to see these wind farms actually go in, your line is going to be there? What's the economic impact of this part of the Southern Great Plains?
Sure. So the economic impact, I think, is pretty significant. You know, first of all, the wind farms that get built, you know, they typically contract with landowners, and so landowners get payments throughout the development process typically, or you know, they structure it differently, but definitely when the wind farm is producing, they're getting income from that wind farm, either directly or whatever it is that they negotiate. So in some ways it's like a royalty. So for those landowners and farmers and ranchers, it provides an additional source of income that is usually pretty steady. And is not connected to, you know, the wheat market or the cattle market or whatever other part of the rural economy that they're participating in. So that's part of it. And then those wind farms obviously have to get built, and that takes, you know, quite a number of people. And our project, transmission project, would take, you know, quite a number of people to build. During construction, we think only in Oklahoma, you know, we're talking about thousands of jobs during a 2 to 3 year construction period for the transmission project and the associated wind farms. And then we're talking about hundreds of jobs permanently, you know, for a 20 to 30 year period that are going to be folks that are going to be maintaining the facilities, working on them, and administering them. So that part of it's significant just in terms of jobs. And then obviously those folks are in those communities, so they're spending on goods, and they're spending, you know, all of the things that happen in an economy when, you know, you have a multiplier effect through spending and investment. In addition, you know, the tax benefits for the local communities and the counties would be important. These projects, especially the transmission part, would pay significant property taxes, and there's significant sales tax impact. So we're talking about millions of dollars per year, you know, throughout the life of the project, for the transmission part, in property taxes for each of the counties that the project is in. And most of that, in Oklahoma, the way it works, is my understanding, most of that money goes to schools. So it's collected on a county basis, and most of it goes to support the local schools. So it's a significant thing for those communities.
Okay. Where are you right now with the Oklahoma Corporation Commission? I know you're kind of hitting an important juncture right now.
Well, we started our application process with the commission formally in May of this year, and we're coming up on some hearings where we're able to talk with the administrative law judge and the commissioners and present our case, and then they talk to us about how we manage the company and what our plans are, and eventually it's up to the commissioners to decide whether they grant us the status or not. As part of that, there's different parties involved that have expressed an interest in the case, and so we're also working with them to understand their concerns and make sure that we address in every way we can everybody's concerns to make sure that this project is good for everyone.
At this point, what's your timeline, assuming that those regulatory hurdles are successfully navigated? What is the timeline for this type of a project?
Right. That's a great question. I mean, it takes a long time to do a project like this. We've been working on this project for about a year and a half. It will take us about another 3 years before, if everything goes well, before we can say we have all of our permits in place and we have everything in place that we'd be able to start construction. And then from there, it would take 2 to 3 years to build and finish. So on the schedule we're going on right now, this project could be in service as early as the end of 2015 or somewhere in the course of 2016. So that's kind of the rough idea. We still have a number of years of planning and consulting with state authorities, regional authorities, all of the environmental permits, as well as doing a lot of interaction with folks on a local basis so that we could eventually figure out where the project would go and how it would work. And that's going to take quite a bit of time. So there's a lot of opportunities for people that are interested in the project to come out and see what we're doing, understand how we're going about it, and ask questions, and we'll address those.
Obviously, we know where Point A is in that panhandle area, somewhere close by to Guymon or thereabouts. Where is Point B? Where do you want to end up with this power?
Right. For the 3,500 megawatt first line, it will end up near Memphis. So it would interconnect into the Tennessee Valley Authority's high-voltage transmission system. The Tennessee Valley Authority is a very large utility that serves the state of Tennessee as well as parts of five other states. And so they have a very strong transmission network that interconnects to just about everybody else in that southeast, mid-south region. And so it's a very good place to drop off a lot of power and then allow it to go to a lot of different consumers in that region.
So ultimately, I guess what they're connected to the national grid as well, so this power could actually go a lot of different places then.
Yeah, I mean, the power grid's kind of an amazing thing because, you know, all of the east, basically east of the Rockies, including Canada, is one big machine that's interconnected, believe it or not. And so, it's very hard to get from, a very far part of one to another. But, yeah, once you're back in the grid there, it's going to go to several different states.
As we wrapped up our conversation with Mario, we asked him about getting back to Oklahoma. What's the interaction right now that they're trying to achieve with Oklahoma landowners? What is the message? How do landowners find out more about what's going on with this effort?
Well, I think the important thing is for people to understand that, we understand that people have questions and that there are different resources they can go to get those questions answered and to interact and get real feedback and that they have a voice in this process and that it's going to take a while for this to happen. This isn't something that's going to happen tomorrow and all of a sudden people are going to see issues with their land. One of the sources that's very good for people that are comfortable with it is we have a great website that's plainsandeasterncleanline.com, just like the name sounds. And on there, there's pretty detailed information about the different stages of the project as well as opportunities for people to voice comments. They can put their comments in on the computer on the web, and then it'll be sent to us. There's an email also, and we have a 1-800 number that's available for people to call if they want to voice, if they have questions or just want to give us comments, and we'll register all of that. When we get to the stage, after we've spent time talking more with local officials about when we have an idea where we think the project might actually go, where we might route potentially, we'll be having a series of public meetings, and there'll be notices, and people will know ahead of time that, we might be at a local high school, and then we might take, like, the gym floor, and we'll have stations, and people will be able to see, address any questions they have, be on the technology or on how the routing is going to work or any aspect of the project, and we'll have teams there to address that. And that, so people will have a lot of time to be able to do this because we think it's important to kind of work through all this, and we're trying as hard as we can to be transparent, to make sure that people have good information and that, that they understand that this is a process and they have a voice in it, and, it's going to take a while to figure it all out.
Right.
Mario Hurtado sitting down and talking with us extensively about the efforts of Clean Line Transmission to build a major transmission line across Oklahoma into Arkansas, carrying wind power to the eastern U.S. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.